last time on the Bestow Curse podcast, the Elite Eight won their game of Blood Pig and an audience with the Emperor of Old Corvosa. Enraged at his team's defeat, the Emperor brought out Vex's grandfather for a public execution, spurring them all into action. As the full moon rises and both Mir and Sylvie transform into were-rats, will the party be able to defeat their foe and save Vex's grandfather before he becomes a victim of the Tall Knife? The Cursed Campaign continues now.
Welcome back to Bestow Curse. Big combat coming up.
Oh, no.
Oof. Big combat.
Big combat. Looking at the initiative tracker, 27 combatants.
God.
That's so my gosh. Combatants.
And that doesn't include Animal Companion.
Or Eidolon.
Or Eidolon.
We are coming in the midst of Blood Pig, too. So this is like, there's, you know, Diego's at half health. He's down. We got people, you know, moving from the sport to the combat. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And probably most notably, you're all unarmed.
Yes.
For the moment being.
A spellcaster's never unarmed, but yeah.
We're well, unarmed. Nor is a were-rat. So I wanted to talk a little bit about our experience with big combats before we get into this one, because this very well may be the largest combat we've ever played.
That feels correct to me. We had a ton of massive combats towards the end of Carrying Crown. And I know not everybody listening has listened to that. So definitely want to be spoiler free here. But there were lots of situations towards the end of that campaign where, as players, a lot of us were playing up to two or three PCs each combat. And then Griff was just throwing massive amounts of enemies at us. I think you're right. I think we never got quite this high in combatant count. Although these are going to be a little less complex than level 16 characters or whatever with mythic levels. But still, it's going to be a lot. It's big. And I, in particular, really enjoy playing more than one PC in a combat. I think I have a lot of fun doing that. It keeps things fresh, especially if they're different types of PCs, like a caster and a marshal. I really enjoy that. That keeps it fresh for me.
I think it's really fun. But there's a lot going on. So there's a lot to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting, but it just feels like a lot at once. And then looking through everything that we gotta remember. And I like it, though, when there's this many people to definitely be able to control multiple, because there's so many things you have to remember.
Ooh, lest us not forget the multiple PC curse, though, of when you roll initiative and your two characters go back to back.
The worst.
And it's like, I'm stressed for like 5 minutes during the turn, and then I have to wait like an hour to play.
Yeah, I will say I've rolled a pretty good spread, kind of impossible not to when I'm rolling for, you know, 19 of the 27 people. So hopefully that doesn't happen too much, but I did roll a couple duplicates. So, actually a decent amount of duplicates. So there's some spaces where there, you know, you won't be able to get in between two. So we might have some scenarios where people are back to back, hopefully not too many, because, you know, you'll get to have a turn like once an episode, possibly.
Yeah. It's really important for these big combats, I've found, to really be planning out your move before it gets to your turn, because it takes forever to read through all the abilities and, you know, figure out what's going on the battlefield. And of course, sometimes right before your turn, something changes, but you have to be able to pivot then really quickly. Otherwise, it gets bogged down so fast.
So fast, so easily.
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know, you guys have a good opportunity to take advantage of the fact that with me controlling 19 things, I'm probably not going to be playing this perfectly optimally. So hopefully you can take advantage of some of my mess ups as the combat progresses. I don't know, Chris, you're the only one that plays like high level 2E outside of this. I don't think I've ever I think the biggest 2E combats I've ever played are in Bestow Curse. You know, we had the Rat Warren, which was a really big combat, and we had some fairly big combats in the Temple of Urgothoa. But this is the biggest one I've ever run in 2E.
Yeah, it's the biggest I've ever played in, for sure, as well. I think in a lot of the 2E adventures or whatever, the designers will, if they're playing a mass of people, they'll take those and represent them in like a troop stat block or something like that, which I think a lot of the troop stat blocks capture the flavor of combatants, but I feel like they lean really heavily on a lot of reflex saves too. So it's like it's like a big swarm type block with like a one trick pony kind of tactic. So yeah, I mean, with just a bunch of guys on the field, you're definitely going to get that crowded feeling for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, fighting a troop versus fighting, you know, six player level minus three or four enemies is very different tactically. And I think it allows for characters like Diego with like deny advantage to shine when yes. There's a bunch of yeah. lower level things.
Agreed.
versus a big troop. I think, you know, I'm hopeful that we kind of see Mir take the offensive with some big AOE stuff, because it's been a little while since we've got to do that. I know, like a big enemy kind of, mm-hmm. It feels crappy as a spellcaster sometimes, because you're really hoping for me to roll like a three to get like a good effect off of the spell. So in this circumstance, like, incapacitate is definitely on the table for almost any of these mooks and a lot of other, you know, tactics that you don't normally get to use. So I'm pretty excited to see how it plays out. I certainly optimize the shingle snipes. I think we talked about this on a Zone of Truth. I optimize them for Blood Pig specifically, so they're not as you know, they don't have attack of opportunity. They don't have some of those things, which you guys have already figured out through playing Blood Pig with them. So it'll be interesting to see how they can handle an actual combat. And it'll be interesting to see how our were-rat rules play out.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I think you should be. I think the were-rat thing is a net benefit, especially to Sylvie. But geez, do you guys probably don't have offhand, but you should have gained quite a few hit points.
I know I'm at 120 hit points as a were-rat, and I believe, let me see, normally I'm at 88.
I'm at 144 hit points.
Oof. Ooh, and you're normally 112.
Yeah, it's a lot of hit points. That's nice.
Yeah, so you get a set hit points per level, which will be pretty fun. But I'll be honest, I'm pretty ready to dig into this. I think we should get the ball rolling on this. So without further ado, I'm going to give out a hero point. This hero point not only goes to all of you, but it goes to everyone you're controlling.
Oh, yes. Ooh. The first Bongo hero point. Yes.
So this, Bongo is, point. This is a group hero point. So just know you have a hero point for not only yourself, but whatever NPC that you're using in the combat. This comes from Max. Corvosa wouldn't be what it is today without you, for better or for worse. Not sure which it is at this point in the story. Hopefully this hero point will help make it better.
Well, it's a column A, column B situation.
Okay, well, when last we left our heroes, they completed the last couple of rounds of Blood Pig, beating the Shingle Snipes 5-1. And the Emperor, upset by this outcome, brought out Vex's grandfather to be executed. Simultaneously, the full moon rose in the sky, causing Sylvie, Mir, Bingo, and Bongo to transform to hybrid form were-rats, becoming large in a moon frenzy. However, you did notice that Bingo and Bongo blew a substance into the faces of Mir and Sylvie before they were able to fully transform. And so hopefully that's a benefit to you. With that change, the were creatures seeing red, combat broke out between the Emperor of Old Corvosa and all of his men, and the Elite Eight and DeVargo up in stands. And we find you now just before the battle erupts.
Oh, man.
So I know, like, our allies are starting to grow and transform. The moon's out, lighting up the expanse of this playing field that's been built on top of these old half collapsing buildings, these poor houses. But I think given the emotional weight of what's going on here and the stakes, Vex got to say something real quick. And I know this maybe doesn't work perfectly with the timeline of like combat breaking out, but let's suspend our disbelief for just a second here. As the moon is in full blast, lighting this all up, it's still kind of dark, and his halo is cutting through the darkness. His blue eyes are just pinpricks of burning white hot heat, and the wind is kind of whipping about him as his curse is on, and he shouts up to the Emperor,
"Oi, Pilt Swastel. Now, I don't know if you remember me from before this city fell apart, but the man you're about to put to death is my grandfather, Dravius Relby, and he's the only family I have left in this world. Now, a righteous man would tell you there was still a chance to stop what you're doing and walk away from it all, that you could let the old man go, that we could part ways and let bygones be bygones. But I've been growing sick, and I've been growing tired of trying to do the right thing in this city and giving bad people second chances. I never was a righteous man, and what's left of my good graces withered and died when you laid hands on that man before you."
And just for like a second here, this fire that's burning in him starts to simmer down as he gets a little bit more reflective.
"When I entered Old Corvosa, I met an old woman whose entire family died of an illness that we cured a week ago. And now she'll die in what's left of her golden years, alone and heartbroken, begging strangers to be a savior they'll never be. I met children, Pilt, singing songs about your executioner's toy that I watched you feed bodies into with glee just minutes ago. What are those kids gonna grow up like, witnessing horrors like that? The damage you've done here in this short time is beyond measure. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day here is soaked in sadness. And I know you didn't make Blood Veil, but you sure as hell took advantage of the misery it caused."
He kind of raises his arms up a little bit and looks side to side.
"Do you know where we are? I used to live a few floors down here. You've turned this building into the grave of my past life. And so it's here that I gotta tell you something. It's not a threat, and it'd be cliche to call it the promise. It's just a statement of fact. I'm gonna kill you. You call yourself an emperor, but the reign of terror you've brought on the city's about to fall. And the only empire you'll find for yourself will be 2 foot wide and 6 foot deep."
He burns a glance at the rest of his people in his party. "Let's rip them to pieces."
The emperor's gaze darkens at you, and he says one thing:
"I remember you."
And then combat erupts.
Let's go.
All right.
I need you guys to roll initiative here.
Diego is activating his mutagen for this initiative roll. War blood.
Bingo is ready with a nat 20 on initiative.
Let's go.
For 31 total. So not super high in total, but Mir got a 29.
Given the speech here, can I roll intimidation?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Cool. I'm also going to battle cry.
Can you do both?
They're free actions.
Okay.
Vex at a 28.
There's enough people between Bingo and Mir that I'm happy.
Sylvie is a 16 and Eamon is 30.
Bongo's at a 17, thank God. I was so worried.
Diego got a 30. Leori, natural 20. She's got a 42.
Oh,
dang.
Nice.
She is also battle crying up in here.
This is going to become incredibly important for Mir soon. Where is Vex's grandfather?
Right next to the executioner on the tall knife.
That's fine. I just want to make sure I do not hit an area of attack spell.
Appreciate that, Haley.
I think Diego's going to try to demoralize the Emperor himself.
Okay.
18 on the die. That's a 37 to start. I'm rolling hot.
That's a success.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay, and I got to remember his Grim Rune thing that people have to make will saves when they try to take the frightened near him. Leori, I think, is going to intimidate this one that's like nested between a bunch of us. This, one of the shingle snipes. Oh, had to end at some point. Natural one. 21.
Critical fail there.
Is there a... No, there's not. Okay.
There are so many people.
So, at the start of combat... is the Emperor of Old Corvosa, who also nat 20'd and has higher initiative than your cleric. He is going to inspire courage for his allies and then cast Blur on himself.
Rude as hell.
And then you said there's something about a will save for frightened ticking?
Yes, just a DC 20 will save. It shouldn't be hard for him.
Natural one.
Whoa!
Okay!
Wait, so that would succeed with his natural one, which would drop it to a fail. So he's still frightened, I think. Okay. Amazing.
it is Leori's turn.
What's the thing around getting our weapons? Do we just have to spend an action near Devargo to get them?
Or? There's a crate of your weapons. Devargo can try and get them to you, or you have to come all the way up here and get them yourselves.
God,
that was kind of your plan going in, that he would... You know, if a fight broke out, he would try and get the weapons down to you guys.
I think she just, I guess without a weapon to kind of see what happens next, she might just cast a two-action harm against one of the adversaries here on the court.
Okay.
So I'll target kind of the northernmost, I don't know what these guys are called, but maybe one of the midfield defender guys. That's them. So this one here. Make me a fortitude save.
It's a success.
All right, so half of this void damage, 37 points of void.
Okay.
And then I think she's just going to move to get to just be in a better position on the field. Like there.
Sounds good. It is a secretive shingle snipe defender's turn, who is going to... step up, and before they step up, they will pull their blade out of a concealed sheath, and then will attack at Diego. It's a 24 to hit. Looks like a miss.
Yep.
And that's their full turn. Draw, move, attack. It is the encouraging shingle snipe midfielder's turn. They are not in a good position to really flank anybody, so I think they're just going to Dragon's Roar in a 15-foot emanation. So I need you all to make a, let's see, will save.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, that only gives the emanation. Just roll a will save.
We're going to need to know who.
It is everyone in a 15-foot emanation, so that will be Aemon, Mir, Figgy, and Bingo.
Ooh, that is a 30 for Aemon.
You got a 27, but I've got bonuses if needed.
Okay.
Figgy only got a 20, and Bingo only got a 19.
Okay, so Bingo and Figgy are frightened one.
Okay.
Then they will flurry at Bingo.
Rude.
So here comes the first attack. It's 25.
That'll hit.
Dealing 15 points of damage. Here comes the second strike. That's only a 20.
That will not hit.
Okay, and then they will move 20 feet up to flank Leori with the secretive shingle snipe that just went. It is one of the Emperor's brutes' turns. They are going to step to flank Sylvie and attack at Sylvie, who is now being flanked by one of the shingle snipe defenders and this brute. And I think I'm going to use double slice here. So I'm going to use their battle axe and axe end hatchet. Battle axe strike is a 32. The hatchet strike is a 33.
Both of those definitely hit.
Okay. You're going to take 16 damage from the first strike and 13 damage from the second strike.
Ouch.
Neither of these is silver.
All right, good.
It's a new list of concerns and fears I've got.
Next, we've got a defender who, again, isn't flanking anybody, unfortunately. Most of his allies are flanking, but he does have Aemon next to him. And so I think he's going to attack with his spiked gauntlet at Aemon. That is only a 24.
That's not going to hit. Thank goodness he was not flanking.
Then I think he will attempt to grab Aemon. We'll have the agile map on that. That's a 29 against Aemon's fortitude DC.
Oh, that's a success.
Okay, so Aemon is grabbed, and then he's going to intimidate Aemon. However, that will not succeed with a 3 on the die. So Aemon's grabbed. Now we have the noble shingle stipe defender who is flanking Sylvie. They'll take a strike with their spiked gauntlet. That is a 33 to hit.
Oof, yes.
It's going to be 23 points of damage.
Ooh.
Going to attempt to intimidate you now, Sylvie. Probably should have done that first. That's only a 25 against your will DC.
Oh, that succeeds.
Okay, so you were frightened one, and then we'll take one more strike with the spiked gauntlet. But with only a 7 on the die, that'll miss entirely. Oh boy, I get a string of them, huh? Okay, it's the Confident Emperor's Brute, who is up by DeVargo and friends, is going to... I don't think I can get the flank around the corner there, so is going to just move up to DeVargo, is going to attempt a double slice on DeVargo. Misses DeVargo with the first strike and misses DeVargo on the second strike. All right, it's Bingo's turn.
Okay, awesome. The curse of the were-rat, that takes a while to go in effect, right?
Yeah, it won't matter if they're dead.
But if I bite someone now and they fail, they won't immediately go into curse, right?
So let's read curse of the were-rat.
Probably like some incubation period.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Curse affects only humanoids. On each full moon, the cursed creature must save another fortitude save or turn into a were-rat until dawn. It is the full moon. I'm going to say it doesn't affect right now, because if you've ever seen a werewolf story, they get bit during the full moon and then they turn at the next full moon. And I'm going to use that logic for here.
They have a whole day of, Thank you. The moon, no, I have to hide.
Yeah, it's like a zombie bite kind of thing. There's like a little bit of a delay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to use Bingo to just start trying to take out these other people. So... and bite is just is more damage, so.
Yep, that makes sense. And Bingo is flanking this guy in front of them.
Is flanking. That is correct. That would mean I should be able to do some sneak attack damage as well. So I'm going to bite at this shingle snipe midfielder. Got a 13 on the die for a 27.
That's a hit.
Awesome.
Make sure you click the sneak attack box on.
There is no sneak attack box for me to click. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then under sneak attack, it should say how much damage.
Yeah, it does. I know how to do that. I can add sneak attack in here too. All right. And so that is 15 points of damage to the bite, and then going to go ahead and now claw, because that is agile and finesse, and so I have a less map there. I'll use bite, claw, claw. I do think I missed with a 13, though. So, last thing, gonna just shoot for the moon here. And a natural one. Okay. Not gonna happen.
Natural one does not happen. It is DeVargo's turn.
The frightened should tick, right?
The frightened will tick, yes. So just go ahead and tick that. DeVargo is somewhat surrounded here, but will, with one action, grab the weapons crate, and I need him to make an athletics check, because you guys got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we do. That's fair.
With a 35 athletics, he is able to throw it 15 feet.
Oh, hell yeah.
So
that's exciting.
So for his second action, he tosses it, and it is going to be down on the field with you. Let me draw a box here. 5, 10, 15, kind of right between Mir and Figgy.
Nice.
With his final action, he will draw his own weapon. And unfortunately, he had to kind of use his turn to do that, but hopefully that should allow you all to get your weapons and become stronger. It's Diego's turn.
All right. So Diego would not have been able to use his Warblood mutagen at the start of combat, so I'm retconning that. He did not do that. Not able to use that. He will stride up to the crate to pick up his scythe. So stride and pick up two actions. Then I think he is going to command Gaken to kind of hop over the railing away from like the Emperor and his thugs.
Okay, so luckily the thug next to Gaken has not acted.
Yes.
So Gaken can just kind of like hop off. Again, like we'll consider that difficult-ish terrain, and it's not more than 10 feet up, so I don't think you really are going to take fall damage from that.
Okay, got to move him around. So he will hop down there and then probably just stride into the corner by Vec.
That sounds good. That sounds good. I was a little worried about him up there.
Yep.
Okay, it is Eamon's turn. Eamon is grabbed and flanked right now.
He is. So he will twist around and try to break free of that grapple with an acrobatics. Ooh, that's a 35.
Yep, breaks free.
Perfect. He would also like to pick up his weapon, so he will run around and stand right next to Diego and then pick up his plus one light hammer.
Oh, it's hammer time, baby.
And that's going to be it.
It is the unrelenting shingle snipe striker's turn, who is going to break off and engage Bongo. Is going to, attempt to intimidate Bongo.
All right.
That's a nat 20, so Bongo is frightened too.
Great.
And then we'll attack Bongo once. Or no, cannot attack Bongo once. Well, could with a fist, but I'm not going to. Draw the blade from his concealed sheath. So that is his full turn. It is now Mir's turn. And now we get into something interesting.
Oh.
I need you to roll me a flat check.
A flat check. Okay. Of what? Just like a D20?
Yes.
Okay, 11.
You can act normally this turn.
Oh boy. Oh shit. Okay. Alrighty. Okay. Okay.
So you were-rats that are afflicted were-rats, you've gotten something that's helping you resist the pull of the moon, but it's not 100% effective like it would be if you were a natural-born were-rat.
Okay. Well, I think I need to come out swinging, which means I can't pick up my weapon right this second. Although, if I did...
Hey, you can be swinging without your weapon at this point if you want to.
I know. I really want to do a hydraulic torrent in a line, because right now there's three of them in a line. I would have to move, and then I could do it, but I could get Pilt in one big line.
Frightened.
Yeah, I think, like, that sucks, but I think I'm going to have to leave my weapon for now. And so first action will be to walk 15 feet up, and then I'm going to cast a spell that is a 60-foot line, and it will hit this Manic Enforcer, Pilt, and... this instinctive enforcer.
All right. I'm going to say you can do that because you're a were-rat in Moon Frenzy and you're currently like 12 feet tall.
Yeah, I only figured because of height I could do it.
Yeah, otherwise we're going to say that riser is about 7 feet up.
Yeah.
So normally a line might, you know, angle up, but for you, you can just kind of cast it straight forward.
That's kind of what I was thinking, and this, I was like, this is my chance. All right, I'm going to cast Hydraulic Torrent. So I'm going to have a very large torrent of water just coming right out of my hand. And they may have claws, but doesn't change the fact that I've got this. So I need a fortitude save from each of them.
Okay, the first one, the instinctive enforcer, rolls a natural 20.
That jerk.
Critically succeeds there. Pilt, who is frightened, only gets a 24, so fails.
Okay.
And then the final enforcer, the other enforcer also fails.
So the closest one dodges, and the peanuts goes behind him and take him right in the face.
So the ones that failed are also knocked back 5 feet.
Okay, I'm going to say that goes like the direction of the torrent, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's what would make sense to me.
So Pilt's going to take some damage, and the...
It's 43 points of damage.
Yes. Yep. So I'm going to pop both of them backwards one square.
You rolled absolute fire off that 8d6.
Yeah.
Max I rolled 48.
You rolled 6, 5, 4, 6, 6, 5, 6, 5.
Nice.
Big first volley.
And then Figgy going to act on its own. Figgy is just going to bite out at this midfielder here. He's only got one action to do, so I think it makes sense for him to act on his own by biting this.
That's fine.
Midfielder. All right. Would have loved to put him in a rage. I just didn't have the action economy. That's going to be 24.
24 is exactly a hit.
Perfect. And that is 20 points of damage, and my frighten's gone.
Sounds good. Vec is up next.
Great. So Vec is 10 feet away from the crate of weapons, close by to Eamon, close by to Diego, close by to Figgy and Gaken. Point of order, Griff. When we're talking about weapons being thrown onto the field, what does that mean for wands and staves? Because you could use a staff offensively.
Yeah, I think your wands,
yep,
you could still have on you.
Okay.
Your staves are probably in that crate.
Okay.
So you need to recover them.
So eventually I want to pick up my staff of healing to get a little bit of a bonus, because all I'm going to do this combat, I think, is just pump out heal bombs. But I need to be judicious here. Vec is going to look at Diego, who seems to be a little south of half health, and immediately point his hand at him. 2 action, level 3 heal. I'm going to save the level 4 ones for just a little bit longer. Override D12. All right. This is going to be my 3D12 plus 27 here. Kind of crappy off the D12s here. Actually pretty crappy. It's going to be 38 points of healing.
I'll take anything at this point. Thank you.
And then, oh boy, maybe I just lay on hands, Gaken, because you're still a little down here. I think that might be what I do. Yeah, Vec is going to turn to Gaken and say, hold still, lays on hands. That is going to be 28 points of healing.
Awesome. Now, does that give Gaken the AC bonus, or does that give me?
That's what I was wondering here.
I would give it to Gaken.
I would default to thinking it goes to Gaken.
I would think so, too.
But that's going to be in the summoner rules more than in the lay on hands rules. So I don't know how you guys share, like, I think you share some spell effects differently and some the same.
Yeah, I think it makes sense for it to be on Gaken.
Yeah, I wish I could give you the extra stuff, but I'm just trying to put out hit points.
I think it's still, in case someone targets Gaken, I think it's still marginally useful.
Hey, and don't forget, Accelerating Touch. Little 10-foot bonus to his move speed for a round.
Oh, perfect. You can cower that corridor even quicker.
All right, it is now the receptive shingle snipe midfielder who's going to step, and now with a flanked mirror is going to attack mirror.
Yeah.
But also is going to, you know, it's going to draw a weapon, step, and attack.
Feels a little unfair that they were allowed to keep their weapons, but...
You think the home field, a little unfair that they could keep their weapons? They at least had the common courtesy to put them in concealed sheaths, which you guys can loot later.
I'm excited for that, though.
So that's only a 17, which we'll miss entirely.
I want to put my 10-foot scythe in a concealed sheath.
It's like only light weapons can go in it. So it's not as good as certain other hiding.
I'll have to look things for other extra-dimensional means for that, maybe.
It is the Frank Emperor's Enforcer, another one that's up by Sylvie, who's going to step and will, I think, make an attack with their spiked gauntlet at Sylvie and will miss. So we'll make a final attack with their hatchet and also miss there. It's the crude Emperor's Enforcer's turn, who is going to, let's see, is going to move down to Leori.
Bring it.
And is going to attempt a double slice here. Got to roll pretty high. Doesn't on the first one, and doesn't on the second one. It's now the Enforcer that wasn't affected at all by the hydraulic push's turn. They are going to move through their ally to flank DeVargo, not knowing that DeVargo has deny advantage, and will target DeVargo with a spiked gauntlet strike, missing with the 23, and then try and hit with their... Actually, we'll try to demoralize DeVargo. That's a 32. That might do it on DeVargo. Let's see. Yes, that will. So DeVargo is frightened one. It is time for another Enforcer, who is going to move up to Bongo.
Bing bong.
Try to attack with a spiked gauntlet.
Frightened two.
Yeah, but with a four on the die, won't do it.
Ooh.
And then we'll attack with a hatchet. And that's a 26 to hit.
All right, that definitely hits.
Dealing 11 points of damage.
Oof, I feel like once again the rules have been violated.
It is now Jabber's turn, who is, true to their name, kind of babbling incoherently in this strange frenzy. Will kind of do the same thing as Gaken here and jump down.
No.
Oh, shit.
And then is going to start with a swipe. So this will be an attack roll against the AC of both Vec and Gaken. Gaken does have the Inspire Courage bonus.
Yeah.
Lay on hands.
Or sorry, lay on hands. Which, you know what I haven't been doing?
Giving these courage guys, their
Inspire Courage, which is dumb of me. So I will start doing that. And not put... Okay, here comes a swipe. That is a 38 to hit.
You're looking at a crit on Vec.
That's a crit for me, too.
Okay, here comes the critical damage. 46 points of damage to both of you.
Big old hit.
That is Jabber's turn.
That guy's a problem.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Might be. We have a shingle-snipe midfielder here who's going to... I think they're going to stay with Bingo and Flurry first. Let me get my Inspire Courage on. It's a 30 to hit, and then a 20 to hit. So the first will hit.
So the 30 definitely hits.
Dealing 26 points of damage.
Come on. Bingo can't put out that much damage.
They will then move...
Careful while you're moving there.
Yeah, they all know who has attacks of opportunity on your team. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll move here to provide a flank for the midfielder, or for the striker, and then...
Well, convenient location. They're all getting into a nice little cluster for me.
I think I will do a dragon's roar now with this one. So I need will saves from Bingo, Figgy, Diego, Mir, perhaps Eamon, let me see, Leori, and I believe that's it.
Is this a frightened thing, right?
Yes, Eamon will also need to.
Yikes. Oof, oof.
26 for Diego, 39 for Leori.
Okay.
The Bingo, Figgy, and Mir team are doing bad.
Yeah.
15, natural one from Bingo. Figgy got an 18, and Mir got a 22. Wow.
Okay, so Mir and Figgy are frightened one. Bingo is frightened two.
That sucks, but I'm not spending the hero point on that one. I think there's going to be better needs.
It is one of the Emperor's enforcer's turns. They are going to move to surround DeVargo.
Gotta help him out.
Targeting DeVargo with a hatchet strike, which will miss, and then swinging again. 26, also a miss. It is Bongo's turn.
So Bongo is at the northern end of the field with Sylvie, and they're the only allied folks to our party up there. We've got what looks like about 5 combatants up there with us, and everybody else on the board is at midfield or below.
Hey, Sylvie, you may notice your body is going through some changes.
Oh, boy.
The talk now?
However, you should stop being distracted by that and stop taking hits from people. If you get any more hurt, you might be going down and not coming back up. So if things are looking dire, you need to get down south with the healers. You know what I'm saying?
He's going to say that and move 25 feet into a flank with Sylvie against a defender, with utilizing his reach, being 5 feet or 10 feet away from this creature. Then he, though frightened too, is going to try and attack twice. First off with the bite. Ah, son of a gun. Natural 3, that's going to be a 16 off guard.
Yeah, won't do it.
But. Yeah. And then I got to utilize the agile property of the claw for my second attack to try and hit here. 19 on the die, that's a 28 off guard.
28 versus off guard is a crit, exactly a crit.
Wow.
Whoa. So make sure you multiply the sneak attack damage as well.
All right. I'm turning that on. I hit critical, so I think this should do everything that I need it to do. And not terrible off those dice. That's 30 points of damage as he just rakes his were-rat claw down this thing's back.
Very solid damage there. It is the Honest Emperor's Brute who is going to first use a double slice against DeVargo. Let me put his Courageous Anthem on. We'll hit DeVargo with the first attack, and we'll hit DeVargo with the second attack. Then he will attempt to intimidate Aemon, shouting down from the balcony. That's a 27 against Aemon's will DC.
That succeeds.
Okay, Aemon is frightened 1. It is now Were-Rat Sylvie's turn, who must make me a flat check.
She is trying to clear her head, as Bongo suggested.
There are hairs growing on places that have not grown there before on your body.
Oh my gosh.
That's a 14.
With a 14, you can act normally this turn.
All right. Sylvie raises up her hand to the sky, throws back her head, and snarls at the moon. And with a free action, she retrieves her +2 striking silver rapier from her glove of storing.
Nice.
And as she does this and it glints in the moonlight, she winces away from it for a moment because she is now weak to the damage that this weapon could do. She is going to attempt to tumble through the noble shingle snipe defender that she is currently flanking.
Okay.
That is a 32 against their reflex DC.
Yep, you're good.
All right, she will heed Bongo's warning as well and end up a little bit closer to the other end of the field and still 10 feet from this shingle snipe defender, who is now flat-footed to her because it's now off guard to her because she tumbled behind. And because she is in a...
Oh, hold on a second. My Emperor's Brood is going to attack of opportunity you.
Oh, okay.
And he does not have Courageous Anthem on.
Oh, they're too far away?
Has a 34. Yeah, they're 60-foot emanation.
Oh.
34 to
yes,
hit.
Yes, that hits.
Okay. That's 10 points of damage as Ouch. You tumble away.
Oh, at least they are no longer threatening her. And she gains the panache and quickly stabs out at this defender, attempting a bleeding finisher. That's a 24?
24 is a hit.
Awesome. That is 20 points of damage, and you get 3d6 bleed.
Wow. 3d6 bleed is no joke.
Yes, and it didn't pop up. Let me see if I can put that in the chat. I clicked it on, but it didn't go. And then with her final action, she has been taking a lot of hits. She will cast shield on herself.
Was drawing the weapon from a sheath not an action?
It's a free action, too.
Free action. Gotcha. Good to go. All right. It's the Cultured Shingle Snipe Defender who is flanking Mir and will attack at Mir.
Shocking.
That is a 26 to hit.
That's going to hit.
For 20 damage.
Okay.
We'll strike again. Or no, we'll attempt to intimidate you now. Keep doing that in the wrong order. Natural 20.
So what am I now?
Frightened 2.
Okay. I was already frightened, so that's better now.
Oh, good. Well, then that wasn't for nothing. And then we'll swing with the spike gauntlet again. This time, with only a 2 on the die, we'll miss. And with that, we're back to the top of the round.
Wow, one round done.
Let's see. What does Pilt want to do?
We gotta take people off the board.
Yeah.
Pilt is going to move to the top of the steps. And given Vex's speech, is going to use quickened casting to cast a 3-action magic missile, all targeting Vec at 3rd level.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, that's scary.
Yep.
So that means at 3rd level, I cast 2 missiles for every action. So this is going to be 64 plus... 6, right? So I can just roll that all together.
Well, hold your horses there, Griffin, because as the missiles fly towards Vec, they all come together and strike right at his breastbone, where he's wearing a brooch of shielding.
Cool.
Which absorbs 6 of those missiles.
Yeah.
Takes all 6 actions, or 6 missiles, off of that brooch, and he kind of mutters angrily, seeing you not really flinch there. Now it's Leori's turn.
Okay. I don't remember what her voice is, but she'll call out to Sylvie saying, "Hold on, I'll have something for you in a moment." She really needs that, her spiked chain, so she is going to move up.
Okay, to the that item will box. Provoke from this brute.
Okay.
Has courageous anthem. But definitely misses with a 3 on the die.
Yep. Leori will then spend an action to retrieve her spiked chain. Have that. Let's see. I was either thinking about battle medicining Diego or getting a hit out on the jabber guy. I think Diego's going to try to approach him, so if she heals Diego, she could then go off and do other stuff. So I'll battle medicine Diego, target a DC 30 for medicine, hit it with a 34, so that's 2d8 plus 30. Nice. Crazy, crazy good healing. 38 points of healing for Diego. That is her turn.
Okay. It is the secretive shingle snipe who has a flank on Mir.
I've really, really put myself out there. Thank God I have extra health.
Yeah, becoming larger means so many more people can attack us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is going to attack you with a rapier. It is a 26 to hit.
That'll hit.
Dealing 17 points of damage and is then going to going to make you enfeebled one.
Okay.
Maybe it's better with your reach. You can't flank.
Okay.
So you cannot flank anyone until the end of his next turn.
That's fine.
He will attack again for a 20, which will miss. And then, is it applying off guard, by the way?
It should is. Be.
Okay. And then we'll attack one final time. We're just going to swing for the fences here. Nope. Doesn't do it. We've got one of the midfielders back in play. They are going to move through their allies towards Diego and Leori. Let's attempt to grab Leori with some athletics here. It's a 28.
Just barely misses her fortitude DC.
Okay. And then we'll flurry at Diego. It's 21, which will miss. And a 17, which will also miss.
Ooh.
Oh, she also needs Inspire Courage. Got the Tired Emperor's Brute, who is going to charge up to Sylvie, which will provoke.
She will attack.
Okay.
That's a 25.
That's a hit.
Alrighty. That's 15 points of damage.
He is then going to do what he was built to do and give you the old double slice. Let me just check a range for a moment. He is within range of the Courageous Anthem now, so I will pop that on him. First roll is a 3, gonna miss. Second roll is a 5, also gonna miss.
Ooh.
My rolls have gone cold. It is one of the defender's turns, who is going to take his ally and throw him 30 feet to defend the Emperor, and then will step up to Mir. This noble shingle snipe defender is going to step over to Bongo and start attacking. Don't believe he is within range because his buddy was just within range.
I will nimble dodge the first attack.
Okay. Won't matter much with the 2 on the die.
All right.
Here comes the second attack. 6 on the die won't do it either.
Sweet.
And he takes 9 bleed.
Woo.
And we'll roll a recovery check here. 8 does not recover. The Confident Emperor's Brute is still flanking DeVargo and will double slice at him. It's going to hit with a 33, and it's going to hit with a 31. DeVargo taking a total of 26 damage. Then he is going to haul ass to be at the Emperor's side. Bingo, you're up.
Mm-hmm. Bingo's going to cause a problem with my spells, but I think Bingo's going to take move 10 feet up and then be flanking with Diego and attack at this midfielder here. I'm going to do bite, claw, 60 on the die for a 29.
29 is a hit.
So that's 14 points of damage. And then actually, last action is going to grab his rapier, because that's 2d6 and damage, so I'd rather have that.
Sure. You grab it from the crate.
Yep. That's his turn.
It is DeVargo's turn. I think he's going to tumble behind the enforcer in front of him, which will provoke from the brute next to him. So let's get that brute's attack. Won't hit him. And so he's got to make a acrobatics. That's a 28, which should beat that guy. It does. So he's going to end up over here with that guy flat-footed now. He's able to get a sneak attack off. 3 on the die, still hits.
Ooh.
If DeVargo wants to, like, stick around with our group after this, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's at about half health, so we'll see if you guys can get him out of this.
As long as he survives.
That is 27 points of damage for that guy. And then he's going to throw Enfeebled One on him with his debilitating strike. And will strike once more and critically hit with a 33.
Ooh. Nice.
At map.
That's impressive.
This, however, won't have his sneak attack on it because he had to use a tumble to get the damage or get the flat foot in the first place. But 48 points of damage will certainly kill that enforcer outright.
Nice.
One down.
Good.
First death on the board, and that is DeVarga's full
not
turn.
By us.
Diego's up.
Okay. Diego is going to move down to Jabber. Rage.
Little halfling in a executioner's cap, right?
Yep. I'll do some negative spirit damage with this rage. And then is going to swing his grisly scythe at him. Give him a taste of his own medicine. 26 to hit.
26, because Jabber is off guard, hits.
Awesome. 25 points of slashing damage, a little bit of negative void and bleed in there too.
Okay.
That's his turn.
It's Eamon's turn.
All right, Eamon.
Eamon wants to put some pressure on the Emperor and help out DeVargo. So he runs up the stairs and attacks the defender right in front of him.
Okay.
I mean, Eamon's got his hammer back. This combat's basically over.
That's right.
Just wait until he can start throwing it. That is a 30.
I told you.
That's a crit.
Ooh.
Nice.
Let's see what he can do on a critical.
Take him to Crit City, baby.
Yeah.
That's 34 points of damage.
Respectable.
Just bashing him.
And that went so well, he's going to attack one more time.
Ooh. 32.
I shouldn't have given you the reins of Eamon. I knew it would be too much for you.
Too powerful.
That's another critical hit.
Oh, boy. This hammer is striking true.
This is like a blend. This is Thor's hammer.
Yeah, 44 points of damage. Even somehow got Thor's hammer.
Wow.
40. Dang. Oh.
That guy is holding on by the tendons on his jawbone.
So you kind of described him as like, you know, like, this like upper crusty type of like, I don't know, like nervous dude, I guess. When he gets the hammer in his hand though, it cuts loose a little bit.
Yeah, like he was going to school for swordplay. Like, he is so much better with a hammer.
He just needed to accept
when,
that.
When the world goes to shit, he tossed the sword aside and pulled out the hammer of the people. Oh boy, okay. It is the unrelenting Shingle Snipe striker's turn, who is going to move to flank Sylvie. I don't believe Sylvie still has an AOE.
Correct, she already used it.
So we'll then, now in the range of Inspire Courage, attack with his rapier, but a 23 won't hit.
Correct.
So he'll swing one more time, and a natural 7 also won't do it. Unfortunately, your reaction is not active, because that looks like a crit fail.
Oh.
Because of your shield.
Yeah, she cannot attack back, unfortunately.
It is now Mir's turn.
Okay, Mir is going to go and walk, let's see, here. Walk over to the crate and kind of stand, like, basically right on it, and then is going to cast spell. She would really like to get her weapons, but spells are good right now. And then gonna cast a crashing wave, and that crashing wave will in fact hit a significant chunk of them, so I'll place that.
So 4 of them will be impacted by this.
Yep, a midfielder, one of the defenders, one of the snipers, and then all our strikers, and then one of the brutes. And so I need reflex saves from all 4 of them.
One of each type.
Yes.
This is like the Noah's Ark of spells.
Okay, the midfielder only gets a 20, fails.
Here we go.
The defender gets a 24, fails.
Oh, yes.
The striker gets 20, fails.
So far,
and
so good.
The brute gets a 24, also
that's
fails.
That's great. Let's all go. Right, they all fail. This is going to be, I believe, 66 of bludgeoning damage as a giant wave comes crashing down. That's going to be 18 points for each of them. All about mass quantities of damage here. And that's 3 actions for Mir. So then Figgy is going to act on his own. And Figgy has reach.
Figgy does have reach.
Figgy's going to attack at Jabber.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Jabber is attacking back, and that's not acceptable.
Thank you.
So Fee's going to tower over the top and then bite right at Jabber over top of Vec with a 34, a natural 20.
That's a crit.
Yeah. That is going to be 40 points of damage.
All right.
Fee said, don't hurt Vec.
Thank you.
It's Vec's turn.
Now, I'm looking at who is in trouble on our team. DeVargo has been putting in work, and he's at about 50%. Sylvie is at about 50%, but very far away. Mir's down a little bit, but not terribly worrying, and same with Bingo. Now, Vec could reach DeVargo with a two-action heal. I guess I would have to toss that to you, Griff. Does he have line of sight on DeVargo, and does that... I guess let's see, as the crow flies, it is 25 feet, but I know he's up.
Yeah, I mean, that diagonal is not going to make it more than 30 feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you'd be okay.
Okay, and so that's...
Kind of glance him through the bottom of the railings.
Mm-hmm. And so this is where I need to decide whether or not I want to take a risk, because I'm next to this murderous halfling, and I don't know if he has an AOO.
You probably want to step anyways at the end of your turn, just to be sure, just to, you know, save yourself.
Well, I'm definitely moving, but if I move now, I can't get DeVargo this turn. Oh. Is the thing. He'll be too far away.
I think you should just
take one
try
step.
It.
You think I should try it?
Yeah. What do we? I mean, like, it's what's I feel like necessary.
Yeah, we got to keep him going. With that all said, though, I think then. What Vec is going to do is, I'm scared if he breaks a fourth level heal, I'll be mad. But if I don't start using these now, there's no point to really having them. So Vec is going to try casting a fourth level heal at this guy at DeVargo. What happens?
Nothing happens.
Oh, yeah. God. Okay.
I felt like it was 50-50 because it feels like it's 50-50 on the board of who's got it and who doesn't.
All right, 40, 12 plus 36. Here it comes. We got some good shit in here. 68 points of healing.
Oh, crap. That's so high.
As
you put him back exactly.
Oh, holy crap.
He took the full 68 and he's at full health.
Damn. That's the mechanical mind of Vec Relby, really understanding what we got to do in this situation and not scared at all about this tiny halfling murder machine.
Filling up the cup right to the rim.
All right. And then I think it's time for me to take my leave for a second. And he is going to hop to the other side of Figgy in front of the goal and also kind of hiding behind Bingo in order to kind of hide himself. In fact, he's going to step up just 5 feet so no one can get clever and push him into the goal. But he's cowering behind his friends. Large friends.
Sounds good.
That's what makes sense.
It is the receptive shingle snipe striker's turn, who I think will take the easy flank. Flanking Aemon here. Needs his inspire courage. That's a 29 to hit.
That will hit.
Dealing 22 points of damage. And I'm going to drop the can't use reactions on aim.
No.
That's rough.
Then he will strike again at Aemon. Rolling for the fences here. Ooh, a 25. Looks like that hits with off guard.
Yeah. Bummer.
That's 27 points of damage.
Ooh.
And can you apply more than one debilitating strike?
I think that'd be rude.
The trigger is just that the rogue strike hits an off-guard creature and deals damage.
I don't think there's something against it, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we're going to also throw Enfeebled One on Aemon. It is the Frank Emperor's Enforcer's turn. We'll move to here to flank Sylvie. Is going to make a hatchet strike. but we'll miss with a 24.
Oh,
I assume.
Thankfully, because of the shield.
Then we'll attempt to strike once more and also miss with a 7 on the die. We got a crude Emperor's Brute up next. I think he's going to move 25 feet down and target Vec.
Cool.
With a double slice. First attack with a battle axe is a 30.
That's a hit.
Second attack with a hatchet is only a 21.
That will miss.
So you're going to take 20 points of damage.
Ooh. Vec is at 46 health. He's at about a third. Might need to do some self-care.
It's now the instinctive Emperor's Enforcer, who is going to move around to face DeVargo so he doesn't have a clear path to the Emperor, and will attack with a spiked gauntlet. Natural one. Will now attack with his hatchet and also miss there. We got the perfect Emperor's Enforcer. Oh boy. I think he can get a flank right there with the Brute. Is going to attack at Sylvie with a hatchet.
Oh, poor Sylvie is so surrounded.
That's a 28 to hit.
That will hit.
Okay. You're going to take 13 points of damage and then 5 points more of sneak attack.
Ooh.
And he will strike one more time with the hatchet. 14 on the die is a 25.
And they're flanking?
Yeah, they're flanking.
Oh, so meets beats.
Here it comes. There's 12 points of regular damage and 9 points of sneak attack damage. Those are looking pretty rough for Sylvie right now.
Yeah.
It is Jabber's turn. Jabber will step and then attempt to hit both Diego and Mir with a swipe. 27 to hit each one of you.
That's gonna hit.
It's Diego.
Okay. That's gonna deal 20 points of damage to each of you, but that is Jabber's whole turn. Oh, and Jabber takes some bleed. 4 points of bleed, and then attempts to roll a recovery check. 15 removes the bleed.
That's it. That jerk.
The avid shingle snipe midfielder is flanking Bingo and will continue their assault on Bingo.
Yeah, kind of assumed that.
Start with a flurry of blows. It's a 28 to hit with the first one.
That hits.
And a 19 to hit with the second one won't do. So we're talking 16 points of damage.
All right.
Then they're going to use their fast movement to double move and get around DeVargo. It's Bongo's turn.
Sylvie, we gotta get you down the field. You planning on moving, or are we doing this thing here?
I will have to move closer. I am more powerful, but also a much bigger target.
All right, get down there. I'll follow you down. I'll hold it down from here.
And I'm going to delay until after Sylvie goes, because I think if Sylvie repositions, I might have some more options.
It's now the Honest Emperor's Brute's turn, who is going to move over here and jump down, and then flurry Mir.
No. Mir's just about half health right now.
Yep, and you're the only one that's attacked the Emperor. 34 to hit.
That's a crit.
I guess you are flanked.
Yep, by Jabber.
Okay, that's 28 points of damage. Second strike coming at you. 31 to hit.
That'll hit. Please be low damage. Please be low damage.
Max, 19 points of damage.
I'm still up, but I can't take another hit.
Okay, that is the Brute's turn. It is Sylvie's turn.
Sylvie is going to make her way down the field. She first attempts to tumble through the perfect Emperor's Enforcer's Square, and that is a 29.
29 will do it.
So So she tumbles through their square and then continues moving to...
This brute's gonna AOO you.
Yep.
Again.
That's smart, though, because every action you take getting away from them, it costs four guys, four mm-hmm. actions to get up to you.
So here comes the strike. Natural 20.
Oh, I guess I didn't say I was nimble dodging, so doesn't matter. Okay.
It's a nat 20.
Oh, true. Yeah, so that won't matter.
34 points of damage.
Oh, Sylvie is up by just a hair.
Okay, but you did move, and you're in panache.
She's been taking so many hits and needs to stay up until someone can heal her. So instead of casting shield, this time she puts mirror image on herself.
Nice.
And that's two actions.
Okay, sounds good. Bongo had delayed till after Sylvie, so it's Bongo's turn.
All right, Bongo is going to try and take one last attack at this brute here who appears to be on death's door almost at the enemy goal. Bongo's going to try and do a jaws strike. 23.
That's a hit.
All right. Unfortunately, no sneak attack here, but let's see what I can do. Minimum 7.
He's still up.
Oh, God.
Still has bleed damage on its turn, but it's not going to be a ton.
Yeah. As much as I want to just take somebody off the board, I'm not super confident that bleed's going to do it. It's Bongo's move speed. 25. It's 25. I'm going to take one more swipe just to take him off the board. See if I can do that.
Okay.
That's going to be with the claw. Come on. 19. Ugh. I don't think that does it.
Nope.
All right. I'm just going to have to rely on the bleed. Bongo begins to move down the board 25 feet past a couple of folks on the other team and is just making his way down towards the rest of the cluster in the southern end of
his way downtown.
Yeah. Moving at a normal speed for a creature at this level.
Yep. All right, we've got a cultured shingle snipe defender who has Eamon flanked. He will strike out at Eamon with a spike gauntlet, 27.
That hits.
Dealing 22 damage. He'll swing again, 26, looks like a hit.
Ooh, yep.
23 points of damage.
Ooh, Eamon is getting a little shaky.
Aren't you all?
Yeah, get his ass
in line. We don't have enough healing for this.
Well, when all your healing's in one basket, you got 9 people now to heal. It's pretty hard. And I think this guy is going to attempt an intimidate on Eamon now. I don't think a 19 will do anything there. At the top of round 3, Pilt yells out, "Let's see if I can take one of you off the board entirely." And we'll continue the curse campaign next week.
Dear Lord.
Hideous Laughter Productions is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Curse of the Crimson Throne is copyright 2008. Curse of the Crimson Throne and Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. Paizo, Pathfinder, and their respective logos, characters, and artwork are property of Paizo and used with permission. If you enjoy this show, consider listening to our other Pathfinder 2E show, The Hideous Laughter Podcast, and supporting us on Patreon, where you can get exclusive access to our other actual play content.